This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Underground, overground, wumbling breed. The Wombles of Wimbledon, common are we. Making good use of the things that we find. Things that the everyday folks leave behind.
Just gone 10 p.m. on a Thursday night. It's Love Sport Radio. It is, of course, the Wimbledon fan show. If you want to get in touch on social media, at Love Sport Radio is the way to do it. If you want to call us or send us a WhatsApp message, we'd love to hear from you. 0208 70 25 58. So just to remind you of where we are in the world of football, all games in England's Premier League, EFL, Women's Super League, Women's Championship, fixtures in Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland are currently postponed. The Football Association has also agreed the current season can be extended indefinitely. There are questions over whether the Premier League should subsidise the lower league. Teams in League One and League Two potentially looking at a £50 million financial hit, as our clubs, of course, lower down the pyramid, who really, really rely on those gates and those fans through the turnstile. Delighted to say that Kevin Boris is with us this evening. Good evening, Kevin.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Kevin. Pretty good. Thank you very much for being with us. Also here with Ivor Heller, his 16th season of being a director at AFC Wimbledon. Commercial director there. Ivor, it's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Joe. And good evening, Kevin, and everybody else.
So, Ivor, let me start with you. Obviously, we're talking about the financial situation and the impact that it's going to have on clubs in the Championship, League One, League Two. I said clubs in League One and League Two, of course, potentially facing £50 million backlash because of the virus and the drop in revenue that creates. Just how difficult is it for a club in League One?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's been a bit of a whirlwind. It all came on so fast that I don't think anybody was really prepared for it to be so sudden. The good news, and there is some good news, is that we're towards the end of the season. We've got four home games left. A large proportion of the season has been done already. So, you know, that's the good news. The downside is the casual staff and people that worked around the club, the stewards and everybody that was employed on a match day won't get their employment for those days. Hopefully the games will get played, although, you know, whether they'll be in front of crowds or not, I have no idea at the moment. There's tough decisions and it's incredibly horrible for absolutely everybody, but in the grand scheme of things, the most important thing is to try and keep as many people safe as possible and for us to be a part of our community and try and do that.
Absolutely. Kevin, let me get your thoughts on something Ivor mentioned there, the potential of empty stadiums. So games behind closed doors. I mean, I know sometimes it's a necessity, but what's your feeling on games behind closed doors?
It's funny, isn't it? Because, I mean, obviously this is Love Sport Radio and we're talking about football and we love football and that's why we're here. It kind of seems, it's become unimportant, hasn't it, in the health and safety of people, with thousands of people dying. And it's just, it's odd that we're, you know.
Oh, so we've just lost Kevin there. I think we'll try and get him back, try and reconnect that line. But obviously, Ivor, from a commercial point of view, games behind closed doors, that's no good for a club either, is it?
I mean, yeah, we're one of the very fortunate clubs. Every single game is sponsored. Most games have ball sponsors, mascots, all the things that go into making up a match day, hospitality, bars, you know, all those things, you know, they're all revenue making, and we're going to lose all of that. But, you know, as Kevin was rightly saying, you know, that all pales into insignificance compared to what is going on. But at the same time, football, I've always thought that football has a massive role to play in society.
Yeah.
And now's a good time for us to play a good game off the field.
Let me ask you, because obviously you're in a fairly unique position, actually, Ivor, in terms of, you mentioned sponsors and commercial deals there, and I'm sure you can't tell us any specifics, of course, but one of the issues that people have been talking about is obviously player contracts expiring on the 30th of June. So say football gets underway in June, for example. Well, what if player contracts are expiring, so players are leaving, or football gets underway even later than that? You might have different personnel for, say, if you start playing in August again. Another thing not a lot of people have considered is club sponsorship deals expire. So clubs, and obviously for you, it's very hard to say to a sponsor whether, of course, and we hope you are, but you don't know necessarily what division you're going to be in. It's hard for a sponsor from a commercial point of view to come in, the sponsors renewing deals. It's a huge headache for you, I'd imagine.
Oh, it's an absolute nightmare. It really is. I mean, you know, there are... Yeah, you know, I've been in touch with several of our sponsors, and I'm not driving them mad at the moment because I think they've got enough other things to worry about than having me on their case, to be honest. But yeah, you know, I have talked to several of them, and you know, every single one of them has got different kinds of problems, but they all have problems. There's no, you know, I can't think of any business that's going to do better out of this. So, you know, we have to keep a watching brief on it. And of course, you know, the other thing for us was, you know, we were building our sponsorship packages around moving into a shiny new stadium and building everything towards that. And, you know, where do you go with that now? You know, it's really tough, to say the least, because, you know, I think in most things there's going to be a shift. Mm. So things that were worth £50,000 last year may well only be worth £30,000 this year, because who's got the money?
Yeah.
Where's the money going to come from? You know, and that's a genuine thought, and something that we have to try and build into our thinking, I think.
I've got a two-part question for you, I suppose. The first one, I think, is pretty... I think I know what you're going to say. Would you like to see the Premier League clubs, the richest clubs in England, invest in helping clubs further down the pyramid? But secondly, do you think they will?
Well, let me take the second part first, and that's no. Let's just get that out of the way straight away. Do I think that they should do? What I really think is that the Premier League and the football authorities and everything, yes, the Premier League is undoubtedly a brilliant product. It's obviously a fantastic product. It goes all over the world, and billions of people watch it. So therefore, as much as you hear a lot of people say, no, I'm not interested in the Premier League anymore, it's a great product. Whether we like it or not, it's a great product. But... to me, the Premier League is absolutely nothing without the pyramid and without the multitude of football that goes on below it. And the fact of the matter is that more people go and watch football elsewhere outside of the Premier League than go and watch the Premier League week in, week out. Therefore, you know, I think that those guys have got an abhorrent share of the money, and they should be filtering it down. They should do something, but I will not hold my breath. I do not expect them to, and I've been like that for a long, long time, to be honest with you. I'd be amazed if they do anything. I'd be very grateful if they did, but you know, if it's, you know, like 10 grand here and 5 grand there, then maybe they'd best not bother.
It's interesting, actually, and you say that the Premier League is nothing without the clubs further down the structure. And you're absolutely right, of course, without talent to come through and places for kids to go on loan. And it's just, it's the structure of football, isn't it, as we know it? And an interesting point, Leo Castledean, 14 years old, I think he is. So he's gone to Chelsea now. And those massive, mega rich clubs like Chelsea wouldn't have a place to look around for their talent without the Football League, would they?
Well, I think that's going to become the case more and more and more. And certainly with you know, there are several clubs that have ditched their academies. So, you know, Brentford being a classic example, they look around, they snap up lots of young, fantastic talent. You know, they're getting good results doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is a thing there that says that the higher up clubs have to look after the lower down clubs. But when it comes down to doing the deals, not so sure about that.
Kevin, let me ask you, what do you make of this whole players training at home? And I know it's been a bit of a social media sensation with Paul Pogba and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang posting photos and videos of themselves in their home gyms. It's all right for them because they have gyms in their houses. But for players in League One, that's not necessarily the case, is it? Oh, no, I don't think we've got Kevin. Sorry, Kevin's got a bit of a bad line. Oh, we've got Kevin there? Oh, I'm not sure. No, I don't think we do. I think we're going to try and get back through to him. So, well, either let me ask.
I can answer that question.
Yeah, let me ask you the same question.
I don't know any of our players that have got gyms in their homes.
No.
And, you know, there's a bit of room out in the garden. You know, they can still go running.
Yeah.
And they can actually go to the park and kick a ball around, I suppose. You know, I think our players have been set programs that they have to do. And they have to go through, and as long as they're doing that and keeping themselves as fit as possible, there's not much else we can do until we can get everybody back together again.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the images. So in the basement of his house, Benjamin Mendy has a little football pitch. Paul Pogba has the same setup. And you think, I mean, do you know what? I'd be in tremendous shape if I had that in my house. But, I mean, inevitably, because it is almost like a summer break, isn't it, come a few months early, player fitness is going to be maybe not where it was when we reconvene.
Oh, no, of course. I mean, you know, match fitness is everything, and it takes time to ramp up to match fitness. So, you know, I'm quite surprised with the statement of they're finished next season, no matter what. Yeah, this season, no matter what. I'm quite surprised at that statement because of the issues that you mentioned right at the top of the show about the contracts running out and so on. I mean, you know, that's a disaster area, and I can't see how, you know, an awful lot of clubs, and I don't know where we're going to be on our budget, it's too early to tell, but there's a real chance that most clubs, a lot of clubs, are going to have to slash their budgets next year now. I think that's fairly obvious. And therefore, the players that we might have been renewing contracts with, that we won't be able to afford.
Yeah. You
know, and if that goes all the way through, then, you know, players are going to have to take a cut. Or they're all going to be looking around for where they can get the best deals, and that means they're going to move on. And I can only see chaos if it goes past. You know, if we can't finish the season before the end of June, I can't see any way it can really be done. But, you know, I'm sure the football authorities will come up with something magical for us.
So, Kevin, we've got Kevin back now. Are you there, Kevin?
Sorry,
there he is.
Now?
There he is. We've got him.
Very sorry about that. My microphone broke.
It
literally broke, actually snapped. So I apologise for that. You didn't hear me swear as it snapped in half. But the... What I was thinking about is, we may have a player in this position, I don't know, but I do know of a player in another club who signed a pre-contract agreement in January. He's currently playing in League Two. He signed a contract with a team in League One in January to join them on the 1st of July. He has more than trebled his wages going from League Two to League One. So if the season does extend past June the 30th, when he would become the other team's player, whose player is he then?
Right. He's the other team's player. End the story. The team that he signed the latest contract with, he will become their player. I can't see any legal way that you could stop that.
I'm sure
the football authorities are trying to come up with something,
but
I can't see how they can do that. Yeah. And the clubs can't afford the contract extensions, not at the same wages they were on, or there's trigger dates where they get more money.
Well, either one of the things that has been mooted, and whether it's practical, I don't know, FIFA have suggested a 2 or 3 month blanket extension to all player contracts. Now, from my very limited experience of football agents, I can't see them all going for that. Is that practical?
I think that if they bang the fist and turn around and say, well, if you don't agree to that, you can't sign for anybody else. Then that's possible, but what I don't get is how the clubs can afford to do that, because they took, you know, the contract would obviously be on the same money as they're already on.
Yeah.
And you know, by then I think there'll be an awful lot of clubs that will be completely cash starved and won't be able to do that.
Yeah. There's, I mean,
so,
really,
you know, that doesn't make sense to me at all. But you know, maybe they're going to pay for it. You know, that would help.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that'd be lovely. I don't think I can really see the money flowing out of FIFA, but hey, that's just me. Listen, there's so much to talk about here. We'll be back with the Women of Fan Show in a few moments' time.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio. It's the Wimbledon fan show. Joe Forrester here. If you want to get in touch at Love Sport Radio on social media, give us a ring, 0208 70 20 558. It's also the same number if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. Still here with Kevin Boris and with AFC Wimbledon's commercial director, Ivor Heller. Mike has been in touch on Twitter at Love Sport Radio. He says, if we knew when the season can restart, then it can be worked out. We won't know, though, so need to draw a line, cancel it and prepare for next season. Now, Kevin, the EFL and the Premier League, indeed, have said that the season will be finished. This season will be finished before we even countenance next season. But does Mike have a point? I mean, what if we're talking about resuming this current season in November? Is that ever going to work?
I don't know how they can say that the season will be finished, because we don't know. None of us know. I mean, if the World Health Authority don't know when this thing's going to be over, then someone who works for Grimsby Town ain't going to know. Sorry, I don't know. None of us do. Mm. I mean, we all want to see it resolved. And I came up with a plan. I was a bit bored at home. I work from home anyway. A bit bored at home. Came up with a plan I thought was really workable that would upset the least amount of teams.
Let's hear it.
Okay. But then, okay, so all right. How about this? Ivor can join in and see what he thinks. Okay, so the season ends, okay, as it is now. In the Championship, that works out fine. Everyone's played 37 games, okay? Mm. The only problems you're going to have further down the leagues when there's been, I think, discrepancies, I think there's a four-game discrepancy in our division. However, so no one gets relegated, almost no one. Liverpool win the league, okay? The rest of the top five, was it two, three, four, and five, qualify for Europe. No relegation from the Premier League. Leeds and West Brom up into the Premier League. The Premier League has 22 teams for a couple of seasons or for one season. We had 22 teams for 100 years. It's not going to be a problem. Mm. So no one goes down from League, from the Championship. The top two go up from League One, currently Coventry and Rotherham. Tranmere don't go down, but however, Southend and Bolton do due to their financial misgivings and the problems they're going to have next season and whatever's going on at Southend. The top three teams go up from League Two. No one goes down from League Two, and the top two, which are currently Barrow and Harrogate, will go up into the Football League, into League Two. So, only teams that deserve to be relegated for off-the-field matters go down. The playoff teams are going to be the ones that are upset, because, of course, you win the Premier League playoffs, say Brentford win it, that's worth more to them than winning the Champions League would be to Real Madrid. Mm. But there's got to be some kind of way that they can get compensated somehow. But in that, my plan, not that many teams get upset by this. Other plans, scrapping the season, starting again. You get so many teams are upset. The few that are relegated teams are very happy. But how can you do that to Liverpool and to Leeds and to the teams at the top of, you know, our division and the top of League Two? Again, it doesn't matter because we're only talking about it is only football. But it's a football show. So that was my plan. So I thought that's great. I was going to write to the BBC. I was going to come up with all great ideas for it. And then Jermaine Genus had exactly the same idea.
Oh, JJ.
Exactly the same, word for word.
Stitched
so
you up.
I don't often agree with Jermaine Genus. I thought, no, that's a great idea. And now he's been quoted, oh, what a fantastic idea. Jermaine Genus has come. What a great brain that man has. Hang on a second. That was my idea. Anyway,
Kevin,
I think that would work. I know, yes, it keeps us up. I do understand this. But it also keeps Tranmere up. Bolton and Southend are relegated anyway. Come on. There's no way they're staying up.
I've got to be honest. I think you either have relegation or you don't.
Yeah.
As much as it feels slightly strange to say this, I don't think Bolton and Southend should go down if no one else is going down from any of the other divisions. You know, if you can imagine the lawsuits if they're the only ones that go down because, you know, some would say that their financial discrepancies, they've paid the price for those already, although we know that's a bit of a joke as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think you could do it that way. But in general, I think your plan is far too sensible for them to even consider it.
Thank you. But could Southend and Bolton afford lawsuits? There's your question. But no, I just think, because otherwise, if you stop the season now, you've got 91 very upset clubs.
Well, I mean, I suppose that it's the only way that it puts everybody in the same boat. Am I right? And in that sense, it's the fairest.
Well, those clubs, there'd be a massive argument with, you know, some of the other clubs that have been in the top two for the rest of, for most of the season, and you know, that are closing fast on everybody. Whilst I'd love to think that that could fly, and I think I personally would accept that. I think that's much better than trying to finish the season, you know, in July and August. I think, yep, you know, that will be a joke. I think it's far better to start the new season probably in September, you know, maybe October, and then have a full season, you know, and maybe you'd have to scrap the EFL Cup and the League Cup and play some extra midweek games and, mm-hmm, and so on to try and get the competition over at the right time, you know, and then get things back on track. That's what I see, but, you know, unfortunately, it's not up to me.
Well, Kevin, here's another scenario. Let me ask you this, Kevin. Here's another scenario, and I haven't heard Jermaine Genus say this one. But he's a magpie, as we've now found out, haven't we? So he could be on this in a minute. We need to be careful what we say, because Genus will nick it, right? But what about a half season? So everybody, you finish this season, get it all done, but you then only play, every team only plays each other once, and there's draws allotted for whether that's home or away.
Rubbish. Well, couldn't work with it, really. In the nicest possible way. Imagine, you know, we draw every top team away, it could just work out awfully, that, really. I personally wouldn't be in favour of that, but, you know.
I think the only way to do it is
finish this season. If we can finish this season, great. If we can't, then draw a line under it and start the next season and finish that season as near to the right time as possible. That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm with that.
So,
pretty black and white.
So there we go. We've put that one to bed. We've settled that. So let me ask you, Ivor, as well. One of the things that we've seen a lot of from clubs in the last week alone is one of the great things about football, and one of the things I actually think that a lot of football's detractors fail to notice, and that's the brilliant work that football clubs at all levels do in the community. We've seen stuff like food drives down to Leighton Orient organising giant FIFA tournaments with 130 clubs across the world. Amazing stuff, and all the money going to charity. Now, I know that Wimbledon are very keen on working with the community and their fan base and people who are local to the club. Has that been something that's been a priority during this crisis?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a fantastic, you know, they're driven by fans. There's a fantastic initiative just set up in Wimbledon. We'll be delivering food to needy people. And actually, a whole care group is being set up as we speak. It's just an amazing initiative, and it's so pleasing to see, because, you know, the clue's in the name. We're in Wimbledon. Everyone thinks Wimbledon is a really rich area, but it's actually a really poor side to the borough of Merton that needs looking after, and there's a lot of elderly people around, you know, the same as in every area. So, you know, we've got a whole mobilisation of people going on that are going to do this thing and do it in the name of the club, and that's, you know, what more could we ask for? You know, this is going to be, you know, the fans own the club. The fans are going to do this on behalf of the club, and it's going to make a huge difference to our community. And what more could you possibly ask for? You know, it's real action in the community, and long may it go on.
Yeah, fantastic work, of course, that so many clubs, Wimbledon included, are doing in the community. A huge concern, of course, I'm guessing for a lot of fans and for yourself as well, Ivor, is the stadium and the stadium plans and where that is in all of this whole crisis. Are you able to tell us what's happening there?
I can tell you some bits and pieces. Mm. Yeah, at the moment it's full steam ahead.
Okay.
You know, the state, nothing has slowed up, nothing has stopped. I think that there's been some very significant steps taken in the last few days, and you know, the preparations are you know, completely and utterly full steam ahead. Now, you know, there is a possibility that it could get stopped, in the same as all sorts of things could get stopped. I mean, they've just announced today that they've started work on the Shanghai Stadium again in China, because that had stopped. So, you know, if that can stop, I'm absolutely sure that there's a possibility ours will stop. And if that happens, then we'll deal with it head on, like we deal with everything head on. You know, but right now, it's carrying on full steam ahead. That I do know for a fact, and I've seen it, so I know. Fingers crossed that we don't have any hold-ups.
And Kevin, that's fantastic news, isn't it? Oh, I think we've lost Kevin again.
It is fantastic news. You're right.
It is. There we go. Do you know what? That's the best sort of question where you answer your own question.
Yeah.
but I mean, it's great. And I live around the corner there. I'm down on Garrett Lane. So.
All right. Nice.
Yeah. So I see the stadium as things go, and I'm not quite old enough to remember Plough Lane. So from what I remember it as a dog track, and I'm certainly very much looking forward to having that stadium at the heart of the local community again. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Taking Wimbledon back to its home.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it really is absolutely everything. Yeah, I mean, I started going to Plough Lane in the early 1970s. One of the worst feelings I've ever had in my life was when we left there, because I just loved it. It was our place, and you know, for that to be taken away from us was absolutely dreadful. Now, you know, we're on our way, and I can't tell you the feeling that is building towards going back to Plough Lane. And you know, just as that excitement was really ramping up, this virus has come along and got in the way, you know, and now I you know, it gives me absolute solace to think that there is something unbelievable to look forward to at the other side of this, you know, and we will come through this virus.
Of course, yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and it's the message of positivity coming out of so many football clubs is genuinely inspiring. 18 years of memories, of course, at King's Meadow. What moments will you look back on particularly fondly?
Oh, there's several of them, but three stand out for me incredibly. There was the game against Fleetwood when we were 17 minutes to go, we were relegated, and then we got the penalty, and Jack Midson strode up and put that away, and that was truly amazing for me. The Fleetwood playoff game, there were several others that were amazing. The Liverpool game when we played Liverpool down there, the atmosphere in the ground that night was just absolutely electric. And yeah, that's the only time I felt bereft after a football match. Not because we'd lost the game, it was like the build-up was so massive I didn't know what to do afterwards. It was shocking. But then when we beat West Ham 4-2, yeah, we beat a Premier League team. That was one of the things that when we started the club, I said, you know, out loud that we would go on, we would have these cup runs, you know, it would happen, eventually it would happen, and we'd play a big team and we'd beat a big team, and that would be something to remember, and something I'll never forget for the rest of my life that night. It was incredible.
Hey, listen, Ivor, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you, Joe. And if I could just say one last thing.
Of course.
I wish everybody well through this crisis. Just everybody, please keep your spirits up. Let's try and smile our way through this as best as we can. It's very trying and it's tense and horrible for everybody. But good luck to everyone. Football will come through this. Humanity will come through this. And we'll all be better for it at the end of the day. So thank you very much for having me, and love to everybody.
Thank you so much, Ivor. I couldn't agree more. Fantastic words. Ivor Heller there, commercial director at AFC Wimbledon. He's been a director there for 16 years. We'll be back with Kevin Boris on the Wimbledon Fan Show in a few moments' time here on Love Sport London.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Good evening, just gone 10:30. It's me, Joe Forrester, here on the Wimbledon Fan Show. Don't forget, we want to hear from you this evening at Love Sport Radio if you want to get in touch on social media, or 0208 70 20 558. Here with Kevin Boris on the Wimbledon Fan Show. Thanks so much again to Ivor Heller, commercial director at AFC Wimbledon, director there for 18 years, part and parcel of the club, and just so interesting listening to talk about the stadium going full steam ahead for the time being, of course, discussing what he feels the best way for the clubs to move forward in the English football pyramid in terms of finishing the season, and saying that the season must be finished. Also talking about player contracts and the nightmare of sponsorship deals. So much to think about there. But we also have a caller on the line all the way from Indiana, in the US. Zach Thompson is with us. Zach, thank you for joining us.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Zach, good. Thank you so much for joining us. Firstly, I mean, the question has got to be on a human level. How are things out there in Indiana? How are you guys coping with the crisis that the world suddenly finds itself in?
We're doing pretty good here. Doing fairly well. a few more cases every day, like same as you guys, but it's not as spread here in the States as it is in Europe, but we'll see what happens in the future.
Zach, are you missing being able to watch your football as well?
Oh, absolutely. See, I was actually planning to come catch a game for the first time Cherry Red over at Kings Meadow, but it sounds like my first game has to be at the new plow lane, depending on how soon that gets going.
Well, let me tell you, you're in for a treat, though. But Kevin, as I was saying to Ivor a little bit earlier on, 18 years of memories at Kings Meadow, what are you going to look back on particularly fondly?
Well, I've stood in the same place. Hello, Zach, by the way. Zach and I know each other. So Zach's unfortunate. Zach was coming over for two games. He would have seen a Sunderland home game on Good Friday, and then the team and the game against, we call them them.
Yes.
The week after, so it's a shame. But yeah, well, you'll come to a better stadium in October, or maybe even early September. So I've stood in the same place for the whole 18 years, and I've never seen the far corner flag. So as I stand in the Ryegas behind the home dugout, so I've never seen the far corner. So what I'm looking forward to is seeing an entire pitch for the first time in 18 years. But it's some of those memories are kind of strange ones, because I used to write the match reports for the club website for the first sort of nearly 10 years. And I used to do it from memory. I never took any notes. So that was my way of training my brain, was just to remember the game, almost like film it and then run the film back and then write down what I was seeing. So I remember odd little things. But there's some great, for me, goals. Mm. It's all about goals. Tom Beer's goal in the last sort of second of, or almost the last seconds of the playoff first leg in 2016, beat Accrington. Had that not gone in, we wouldn't have gone into League One. I mean, that was a huge thing. A lot of the championship, or the conference as it was then, that season when we went up through the playoffs, that 6-1 win against Fleetwood in the second leg. I mean, how many teams win 6-1 in the second leg of a playoff final? Mm. Nuts. No one ever does that. Again, we've done made the impossible possible. And I'm looking at goal. So it's October 2002. We had a centre-half called Sim Johnson, who I think was an estate agent, scored his incredible 35-yard half volley in the top corner against Hartley Whitney. Okay, we're playing teams like Sunderland and Ipswich now, and it's all a bit, you know, blasé about it. But we're playing teams like Hartley Whitney, who brought three, I'm not kidding, they brought three people with them. That was an incredible goal. We had a player called Danny Oakins, who's actually a neighbour of mine, still is, who scored, I think he was 46 yards out, and he was a centre half playing at right back. Ball got cleared out to him in I think it was a London Senior Cup game against Woodford Town. Controlled the ball on his head on the touchline, just inside their half, off his chest, off his knee, volleyed it over the keeper's head into the far corner. It's that kind of thing I remember more than, maybe even more than the Liverpool game and beating West Ham. But that West Ham game was extraordinary. That was just...
And just to chime in on what you're saying, Kevin, it's funny that you had mentioned that Accrington game with Tom Beer's goal. Mm. That was actually the first game I had ever watched of Wimbledon as far as live. Ah. I found a live stream that had gotten put online and that I could find here in the States. And so I got a group of a couple friends of mine, and we came over because it was an earlier part of the day. So I had my friends, they took days off work, and they came over, and we live streamed that to my television, and we sat and watched our first live Wimbledon game because we'd been fans for about a year, but there was no real way to watch it.
Yes, in those days you couldn't. It's those kind of things on goals and just seeing... Well, the other thing, I mean, you remember as well as obviously getting promotion several times and having some great games, it's seeing players play against us for non-league teams that went and had a great career. So 2006 to 05-06 season, Jermaine Beckford scored against us for Wealdstone. The following season, Albert Adoma scored an incredible goal against us for Harrow Borough. And you look back on the players you played against. We played against Chris Smalling, I think, when he was at Maidstone. So you look at some of the players we've come up against over the years, and we missed Jamie Vardy by a year, but it's just extraordinary the levels of football that ground has seen. We started in the Combined Counties League, level 9, and now, as I said, is now we're blasé about the fact we're disappointed we won't see Sunderland possibly this season. But teams like Sunderland and Bolton, who were well-established Premier League teams when we started, And now, you know, we're in the same division, or were, I was going to say, were, are still in the same division as them. And to that ground has seen so many levels of football. There can't be many football league grounds, or any football ground, that's seen their team, other than Fleetwood, I guess, that have seen their team play from, or play matches at that ground from such a low level all the way up. I think Fleetwood have seen from Northwest Counties Division Football up to League One, so they may be about the same level as us. But you look at Highbury, at Arsenal, they only saw one level of football.
Yeah, of course.
Highbury only ever had top division football. We've had, you know, several different levels of sport at that. And it's a completely different thing. The game, the style of football we have now, the quality of players are up against now compared to them, or then in 2002, is completely different. So it's a different sport.
Yeah.
Like, we've kind of progressed with it, and you just don't notice that curve you've gone because you're kind of along with the ride.
So, Zach, let me ask you. So you said you and your friends took some time off work and went to watch your first Wimbledon game. Why Wimbledon? Because a lot of fans in the States, and I was over there recently, and they're all, in inverted commas, Liverpool fans or Manchester United fans or Man City fans. So why did you choose Wimbledon?
I had started as a Man City, and then I follow a lot with Jerm Green and the Nerdsiders and that whole thing, and that's where I first heard of the story. And that's sort of what brought me along to, okay, I'll follow him. I would keep up with the 9 Years podcast Twitter feeds and listen to the podcast. And then as I started going, I found, oh, okay, so every once in a while they're getting on television or they're getting some kind of, some like the FA Cup game against Liverpool, that was shown on regular television here.
Okay.
So I got to see that. But then occasionally it would get on like Sky Sports and I'd be able to find a stream of it. But just hearing the story of what had happened when the team got taken away, I'm trying to censor myself because them doesn't quite cut it for the American side. We have our own phrase for those fellows in Milton Keynes. But what we do here as far as franchising sports is a commonplace thing. Like here in Indiana, we are known for, in our American football, one night, the Baltimore Colts.
Yeah, yeah.
Indianapolis came in, stole the team away, and moved them to Indianapolis overnight. It was about like 400 miles.
Yeah, happened to the Rams as well,
right?
And that
happens all the time here. But yeah, when you think of community-based sports like your guys' football, it's a lot different than here, and it's a lot more you can find a community in it compared to American football where it's, oh, if you're going to be a fan of the Cowboys or the Denver Broncos, you have handfuls of millions of people that are already fans of that, and you just sort of get lost in the shuffle. As with Wimbledon, when I came on board, they were in League Two. There was a handful of 1,000 fans that were going to all the games, and I was able to sort of befriend people, and it was a very niche community compared to just being a number or a customer like you would see from all the big teams.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point, actually, because that's kind of what we've tried. I wouldn't say we've tried to do it, because we just naturally do it. Fans of other clubs come like, so I do, I'm not going to mention it, I do a podcast of my own, and we have football fans on from different, it's not a Wimbledon podcast, I've had fans on from Ulster IF and from a Maltese club, and from next week I've got Excelsior Rotterdam fan on, but we talk about Wimbledon, and they just like the idea that they all know the story. And it's a really interesting that Zach says that Zach was in a band called These Fine Gentlemen, who sponsored the 9 Years podcast, by the way. So thanks for that, Zach. But it's hard to describe it. You get involved in it. So Zach one day posts something on Facebook saying, hey, I've not been to a game yet. I really fancy coming to a game. And then you had about 35 people going, well, why don't you come to this game? If you come here, where can I drink? Well, you can drink here, eat there. Tell you what, if you come here, you can party. I mean, people were just all over the place coming in and offering advice on where to go. And that's why I ended up meeting this guy from Ulster, and it's from Sweden. He said, I support my own local team, always like the Wimbledon story, haven't been to a game yet. I'd like to come to a game. What game should I come to? And he was sport for choice. People offered to put him up in their house, and someone offered that he could sleep in their caravan on their driveway. I ended up getting him on a podcast, and he bought me a shirt. I don't think you get that.
I was
at the
made
club.
The same offers by the entire Wimbledon Facebook group. I said, hey, here are about the times I'm coming. they said, oh, if you need somewhere to stay, stay here, and ended up with about 7 or 8 different people saying, hey, you can sleep on our couch, or we have a separate bedroom, or, and that was for me and then another person. We were both going, and they said, if you can get yourself here, we'll take care of everything else.
Zach, how carefully did you vet those offers? Because while I would certainly be grateful, I would also be slightly concerned.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's number one priority. They had to be. I had to at least find out their name, and then I was like, okay, that's probably safe enough. I live in America.
Yes. But by and large, you would have been safe. But yes, yeah. But I'm sure other clubs you'd have had that. If you supported Leyton Orient or Barnet, you might have had the same thing. But I just think as a club, we do that really well, the community things. And maybe there are things we don't do so well. But, you know, let's be fair, people don't necessarily know you. They know the podcast, and they may have known. I don't think you even mentioned you're in TFG, but people might know that. I go, oh, yeah, he's the guy from D5 Gentlemen. Oh, great. And then other people go,
yeah,
he's the guy in the band.
One of the international WhatsApp groups, and somebody had said, wait, are you the Zach from D5 Gentlemen? I heard you on the podcast. And I was like, whoa, okay, apparently we are a very close-knit community here in the old Womble.
Kevin,
well, it's fun. Yeah.
Could I just ask you, we don't know when it's going to be, but when Zach does get to his first game at the new Plough Lane, what would your one piece of advice for him be?
Oh, that's a good one. One piece of advice would be, I think just take it in. Because I've done match reports and I'm a journalist, I do take stuff in. But it's very, very easy to not take stuff in and just get drawn along with the ride, and all of a sudden 18 years later you're a League One club.
Yeah,
that's kind of strange. So I just think it's like I would say the same thing to someone getting married.
Okay.
And just say,
okay,
enjoy
like
it, take it in. If either of you two are getting married, I don't know if you are, I know Zach isn't, I don't know about much about you, Joe, sorry, maybe you are already. But if you're going to get married, enjoy it, because you get, I've done that, right, and I don't remember much about the day at all. It's a long time ago, and it's not currently existing. But to the point where I just can't remember anything. So if someone asked me about what happened on my wedding day, I could not tell you much about it at all.
But Kevin, moving into the new Plough Lane is more important than getting married, right?
Of course, yes, absolutely. But
absolutely.
I'm just saying it's the same thing. You just have to take it all in and just don't. All right, here we go. Don't watch the game through your phone. Take one photograph before the game.
Yep.
Take one photograph as the teams come out, because I'm not going to be, when the teams come out for the first game at Plough Lane, I will not be in a position to take a photograph, because I will be in tears. I guarantee, I'm not a very emotional person, but I shall be crying. So maybe take maybe one picture. Don't take, because people watch gigs through their phones.
I agree.
You think, well, you're not going to watch this back. Why are you watching a pub band through your phone? No one cares. Watch the band. Enjoy the experience. So that's my thing. Forget the thing about weddings. My ex-wife's going to be listening anyway, because she supports Charlton.
At this point, but I might just take a photo of you while you're crying, Kevin, and mark it.
You can do that. Yeah, no, I'll take that. Have it. Put it on a T-shirt. I don't mind. You can have that.
Yeah, we'll sell shirts to stand for it.
that's great advice, Kevin. It really is. Hey, listen, Zach, it's been really great talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers, Zach
Thompson, they're calling us all the way from Indiana in the US. We'll be back with the final few minutes of the Wimbledon Fan Show next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
10 to 11 on a Thursday night, it is the Wimbledon Fan Show. Thanks again to Zach Thompson, calling us all the way from Indiana out in the US. You can have your say at Love Sport Radio, or give us a ring. 0208 70 20 558. That's the same number for a WhatsApp message. Kevin Boris is still with us. Kevin, you mentioned something really interesting, actually, when we were talking to Zach about the sense of community and, I suppose, fraternity around the club. And it's interesting, and he mentioned that clubs get franchised all the time in the States, and it's always something that's blown my mind. How can you move a team from St. Louis to Los Angeles and nobody bats an eyelid, seemingly? But one thing that football does have, for many of its flaws, is a huge amount of romance and camaraderie, isn't it?
Yeah, you do get it in other sports. I mean, I don't follow rugby, I follow cricket a lot. You don't get that kind of thing there. If Glamorgan won the county championship, that'd be nice. But no one would really think, oh, that's a romantic story.
Yeah.
I mean, I support Somerset, so we've finished second 14 times, seriously. We've been runners-up in 14 cups in the last 20 years of competitions. No one really cares. When Somerset won a tournament last year, no one cared other than Somerset fans. Gloucester fans didn't find it exciting. Surrey fans couldn't care less. But football, there's something strange about it. I don't know what it is about it, but it just gets that emotion that I don't cry at stuff. And I know full well I will cry when that first game. Yeah. And I know people much, much more sort of alpha male than I am who have already said, I don't know if I can take the first game. I might miss the first game because I don't think I'll be able to take it. I'll be crying too much. It's that kind of stuff. You just think, well, you would never say that in the street to me, that you're going to cry at sport. It just, I don't know, there's something, football taps into people's primal urges in a good way, I think. And that's, you get someone who's a very sensible person. Maybe they drive an ambulance during the day, got a lovely wife and two kids. They go to football on a Saturday afternoon, they shout, oh, hell, kind of abuse at the opposition. And they you see them afterwards, they're really meek, nice, pleasant people, but something gets you. Can I mention another story?
Of course.
You're talking about memories. So 2010, I think it was the 09-10 season. Could have been 10-11. We played Altrincham in the FA Trophy. Seb Brown handled the ball. Our goalkeeper handled the ball outside the box. Clear red card. Altrincham should have, might have scored from free kick. They're already 1-0 up. And the ref didn't even book him when gave a free kick. It was hilarious. And we were laughing so much that the manager, who's Graham Heathcote, his assistant manager, Ken McKenna, got wound up by what had happened. But they were so annoyed at us laughing. And we carried on laughing, and they ended up with Ken McKenna, the assistant manager, leaping over the wall behind the away dugout and offering us out for a fight.
Eric Dyer style.
Eric Dyer style. Come on, I'll take you all on. You're going to laugh at me. Come on, offer you out. I'm taking you out. And someone said, only if you buy me flowers afterwards, which is quite nice. So he was escorted away. Anyway, we won the game 3-1. So imagine 6 months, it was the 2011 season. So our playoff final against Luton to get into the Football League at Man City's ground, we're sitting in nice posh seats, me and my friends, right? And then there's two seats over the little barrier. There's two seats free on the other side of the barrier, really next to us. And then we look up and it's him. It's Ken McKenna and Graham Heathcote from Altrincham. Come and sit down. We went, hello, Ken, remember us? Well, that's ruined my day, isn't it? I just thought it was funny. I can't imagine if that was Jurgen Klopp and his assistant, wouldn't have spoken to us. But he wants to move. He didn't want to sit next to us. But I just think that's one of those odd memories. Why would I remember that? But just winding this manager up to the point where he wouldn't speak to him. I mean, it's very funny.
But you're right with that. It's the emotions it provokes. There's the most extraordinary football documentary called Club for a Fiver about Leighton Orient, which is an amazing football documentary. And the manager, John, I think it's in the mid-90s, season in the mid-90s when they're
John Sitton.
John Sitton, yes.
Oh, my God, yes, I've seen that.
And it's extraordinary. It was made by student filmmakers, so I've got no idea why Orient let the camera crew into the dressing room as the club was unravelling. But there's a moment where he's given a team talk and the team have played so badly in the first half that he offers to fight any member of the team who wants to.
And you can bring your dinner.
That's it. And you can bring your dinner. I don't know what that means.
No, I've no idea either. He was crazy. John Sitton was absolutely crazy.
I forgot that was called that. That is a marvellous documentary. But have you seen the one with Neil Warnock?
I haven't,
Neil Warnock. Well, there's a great clip, if you can find it. Neil Warnock, in about, must be 2000, maybe late 90s, he has dark hair and eyebrows in this one, so it's a while ago. So he's absolutely ripping into three of his players in the dressing room, and they were winning 2-0 at half-time. That's the thing, people don't realise that. He was winning. They won 4-0. But he's absolutely so. You've never heard swearing like it. There's no other words other than the swearing, and they're winning. I just love that. I think it's fantastic. So I tell you what's important as well, that this routine that football fans get into on a Saturday, whether you go to the game or not, we don't have that now for maybe 6 months. Yeah. Maybe we won't have that now till August or September. I think that's a really big thing, that football fans coming together, like Leighton Orient doing this FIFA tournament. That's fantastic. I'm not interested in that at all. It's not my thing. Mm. But it's a great thing to do, and people are getting up in the morning and doing something on a Saturday. During the week, fine, because I'm all working, hopefully. People are working, if they can, work at home.
But Saturday, it's different. You go back on Saturday morning and think, oh, I've not got football. I'm not going to watch soccer AM because I'm 52. And it's that routine. That's what's missing. And that's what's going to affect people, I think.
Well, Kevin, so, let me ask you, how are you feeling? How are you feeling your days with the, how are you feeling your Saturdays?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I'm doing things. I'm working as well. I've got my own company. I'm doing some other sort of media things. We've got some other football plans to try and cover stuff. I've got a new girlfriend, and that's taking my time up.
it does that, yeah.
And I'm happy to do so, yeah. Who's not a football fan at all, so that's quite fun. So I've explained the story of Wimbledon to her. She might come to her first game when we move to our new ground, and that'd be nice.
Oh, she's in for a shock when that happens.
She's in for a massive shock, yeah. Yeah, not a fan at all. So I don't know. I don't know, but I've got other things in my life. And certainly there are people, I'm not going to name anyone, who we know that football is all they've got. And that's deliberately, it's not because they're sad, they've deliberately dedicated their lives to being a football fan, who get up on a Saturday morning and go to every home game and every away game. And going to Fleetwood on the train is just a second nature. They're the people I feel sorry for, because they're single, they don't have a family, they don't have stuff to do. It's going to be really important for those people to find something else to do that doesn't have anything to do with football. Just treat this as a double-length pre-season and you should be okay.
Absolutely.
But I wish everyone health and happiness. Sound like we're at Christmas. Then get through this. On the other side, there'll be some form of normality and we'll get back to football.
Nice one, Kevin. It's always really lovely chatting to you. Thank you so much for coming on. Nice one there, Kevin Boris. Always really good to talk to Kevin there. It's the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. Hey, listen, thank you so much to everybody who has been listening tonight. And thank you to Zach Thompson, who came on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. Thank you to Kevin Boris, of course. Thank you to the club's commercial director, Ivor Heller. And I'd just like to echo their words. Stay safe, everybody. All the best. And I'll chat to you very, very soon. This is Love Sport London. Underground, overground, wombling free. The Wombles are win.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.